This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been an awesome Friday. Huge things out of the Supreme Court. It's been an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We are just, I can't get a smile off my face today. What do you want me to tell you? So this hour, it's going to be a real smorgasbord, if you will. Someone disagrees about WW2 as far as helping Germany back up and things like that. Shielding yourself from other people's politics, all that, so much more coming up on the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. In fact, let's get right into this one right here. Jesse, love your show. On the subject of controlling the future by reparations or regime change, I think World War I and World War II were one big war, and nothing we could have done would have changed that. There was nothing we could have done to stop World War II. Even coddling them would not have stopped it. To think we could control the future by smaller reparations is blaming us for World War II. Don't do that, please. Okay. Blaming us for World War II. Don't do that, please. Okay. Well, let's think about that. I love my country a lot, as you know. I'm sure you feel the exact same way. Love my country. Love your country. But do we do everything perfectly? Of course not. And if there is a terrible, terrible situation, anywhere of various kinds, maybe it's a personal situation, nation on nation situation, I think it's very fair to analyze whether all parties involved did the right thing to get out of that situation. And I'll tell you what, I'll use this. In fact, I'm going to use something that I heard Daryl Cooper use, my buddy Daryl Cooper. I'm going to use something that I heard him use that I thought was a fascinating, fascinating argument along these lines. Let's say there's a dude who loses his mind, angry, drugged out, who knows, whatever it is, and he takes his family hostage. He's holding his wife and his two kids at gunpoint. Okay, so that's a bad guy, admittedly. Bad guy doing a bad thing. And the cops show up. And the cops, instead of any attempt to calm him down, they get on the microphone. They start calling him an idiot and a loser. I bet you don't even have the guts to kill somebody. And he ends up shooting his wife and his kids. Now, I think we all know who the bad guy in that story is, right? There's no question about it. You know, the guy holding the women and kids hostage, that was a bad guy. That's the bad guy in the story. But are the cops blameless for all that? I don't think you can say that at all. I think kicking people or nations when they're down can have disastrous consequences. You know what? Let's stay on World War II to kind of prove my point, or at least attempt to prove my point. Maybe you disagree with me. Why is there a difference post-World War II between how veterans who fought in Europe feel about their enemy versus veterans who fought in the Pacific feel about their enemy? Post-World War II, obviously, Germany was the bad guy, Hitler, Nazis, all those things. There was not a deep, deep hatred of Germans and anything German post-World War II, not by America's veterans. Of course, there are plenty of veterans dislike Germans afterwards, but I'm talking deep, lasting hatred. That was not a thing. As I pointed out before, veterans later on in life would get together with German army veterans to have a beer with them. They'd have reunions. They'd talk about things. Okay. That didn't happen with Japan. I get emails from you all the time of, Jesse, my granddad fought in World War II and hated the Japanese to the day he died. Jesse, my great-grandpa fought in World War II. He didn't speak to me for a year when I bought a Honda Civic. You cannot find, at least I've not found, I'm sure it probably happened, but I've never found one example of a reunion between American troops and Japanese troops post-World War II. Why? They were both, I mean, both sides, the Nazis and the Japanese, were racially hatred, horrible things, you know, horrible regimes, horrible ideologies. Why don't the Japanese get forgiveness from the guys who fought in? Why don't they get forgiveness? Because of the way they conducted themselves during that war. The way they conducted themselves with the torture, the rampant torture of prisoners, the rape of women, they would convince their people to jump off of cliffs and kill their babies before American troops took over. The way they conducted themselves during that war created a burning, lasting hatred, and in fact, it played a huge part in America deciding to drop an atom bomb on two Japanese cities. That decision was made in part because of the despicable conduct by the Japanese during that war. Let's go back to what we were talking about here. You can defeat somebody in a fist fight and then help them up, or at least walk away and be okay. We can meet out behind the gym after school one day because we've got a problem with each other, and we can trade hands. No problem. You know what? Lots of times guys will become good friends with someone they do that with. Did you know that? You go meet out behind the gym. You have a little fist fight on the grass, by the way, on the grass. I see these kids today fighting on the asphalt, you bunch of morons. That's a good way to die. Go fight on the grass. No big deal. You lose a tooth, break a knuckle. No big deal. Hug it out. You'll be okay. But you run up behind somebody and you sucker punch them in the hallway, in the back. Not only are we never going to be friends, we're enemies, mortal enemies for life. There is a way to win a victory, to have a complete victory over your enemy, and yet still repair that relationship so you can actually turn out to be friends. Look, the Japanese example is a great one. We destroyed every Japanese city, almost every Japanese city. We brought them all to rubble. And then we rebuilt the country, got them back on their feet, got them right. To this day, they might be our closest ally in the world. They are most definitely our closest ally in that region because we helped them out. What the world did to Germany after World War I was not right. It is not right to blame everything on the country that lost. And that's really why they get blamed for everything they lost. Austria-Hungary started it. Germany didn't even start it. They were just allies with them. They blamed the entire thing on Germany and smashed those people into the ground. And we, the United States of America, participated in that courtesy of Woodrow Wilson. And it was wrong. What we did to Germany after World War I was dead wrong. And it got us Adolf Hitler. I will never, ever, ever agree otherwise. You don't kick dirt in someone's face when they're down. When you meet out behind the gym and you trade hands, if you happen to win, don't spit on him. Don't kick dirt in his face. I'm not even saying you have to help him up, but you can win the right way and walk away, or you might just find yourself in trouble another day. Jesse, do you ever shield yourself from knowing another person's politics? Do you avoid taking the chance of finding out your favorite ball player, actor, music artist might be a leftist, thereby diminishing them in your mind? His name is Russ. I don't know that I would say I take steps to avoid it. It's not like I shield it, but I also don't consume a lot of pop culture. It doesn't really interest me. As I've gotten older, of course, I've gotten more and more into baseball. I'll watch more baseball. But I don't watch the players' interviews. I don't care what they say afterwards. When it comes to actors and actresses, unless there's some soundbite that goes viral, I don't really have a favorite one anyway because it's just kind of not my thing. But I just don't pay attention to it. But part of the reason I don't pay attention is what you mentioned. I don't want to find out that you're a dirty communist. I don't want to find out that you're a filthy, America-hating communist. I cannot stand it, and it does diminish it. I'll tell you a quick example. In Iraq, it became the norm that everybody had to protest Iraq and Iraq and Iraq and whatnot. Well, when we were over there, that bothered us. We wanted, you know, people behind us. It's just what we wanted. When we got magazines and it'd be a band, Metallica, I remember being one of them, because I'm a huge Metallica fan, love Metallica. Metallica was one of them. We were totally bummed. We were like, oh, no, not them too. So, yeah, kind of. All right, let's talk a little bit about radio. Let's talk about ads. Let's talk about, well, illegals. I mean, illegal immigrants. Let's talk about Pure Talk, speaking of America, speaking of veterans, speaking of Vietnam veterans, which I brought up earlier. I did a month of jungle training in Vietnam. That's nothing. Or in Vietnam. In the jungle, I mean. Not in Vietnam. It was in Thailand. I did a month of training. It's nothing. The CEO of Pure Talk did two tours behind enemy lines in Mak Vi Sog. Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. Why does a cell phone company, why are they handing out American flags? Why would a cell phone company hire Americans for customer service? Nobody else does that. Surely it'd be cheaper to outsource that to India. Well, when you've walked the jungles of Vietnam for the United States of America, you tend to love the place. That's the kind of company Pure Talk is. You'll pay less. You're on the same 5G network. Get a brand new phone or keep your phone. But switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Truth, attitude, Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email us, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Hello, Jesse. I'm 60 years old. I grew up with mature, straight-to-the-point adult radio hosts before woke took over. I'm now subjected to immature, silly hosts that play nothing but sound bites, dumb AI songs, and talk about themselves and their lives far too much. I found your show about 2 years ago, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it, being informed and entertained without feeling like I'm listening to a 12-year-old girl with a radio show. Don't change a thing. I like your history segments. Thank you for making me not feel stupid. Well, as far as the not feeling stupid thing, there is something that humans are prone to do. I am, you probably are, especially human beings who have acquired any amount of knowledge or expertise on anything. It is kind of a human thing to be prideful about it and to kind of look down your nose on those who don't. And everybody in every walk of life does this. This isn't a left or right thing. If you are an excellent cook, you know your way around the kitchen, meat and eggs and pasta and things like that, and somebody doesn't know how to make spaghetti properly, it's very human to be, oh, come on, you idiot. Everyone knows that. Very human. Gun guys. I'll tell you this. As someone who, I know my way around guns. I certainly would not call myself a firearms expert. 90% of my friends know more about guns than I do, but I can handle one. So I can tell you this from experience. Gun guys might be the worst at this, the absolute worst at this. If you are a gun guy, you love to shoot, you have different calibers and hunting and all these other different things. The second you hear or see somebody who prefers a different caliber or something, he's a stupid idiot. You don't even know about the bullet velocity. But the worst, it's very worst. And the same thing happens with any amount of knowledge about any subject, including history. When people start to get interested in whatever kind of history they get interested in, and remember, everybody likes history. If you think you don't, you probably just haven't found the kind of history you like yet. The period of time or the location on the planet. You know, I have an older son, James. He loves ancient history, world history. He'll nerd out on the Assyrians. My youngest son, Luke, could not be less interested in all that. Even Roman history, no interest at all. But American history, oh my gosh, he bleeds red, white, and blue. Right? Everyone has different things. So people who start to nerd out on history, you start reading books and maybe listening to podcasts or even listening when I do history on this show. And so you start to acquire a certain base of knowledge. When someone doesn't know something, you can really talk down to them. Even if you don't mean to do so, you can really talk down to them. And this happens even more often than that. You can speak over people's heads unintentionally because you kind of just assume everyone has at least some base of knowledge on what you're talking about. But that's nuts. There are lots of people of every age who don't know anything about the World War One. We just brought up World War One. Who don't know anything about the Crimean War. Remember when I did that history special on the Crimean War? Well, that's a war from the 1800s on the other part of the globe. It's one that I've found fascinating for a while for a variety of reasons, but there are a lot of people, our emails were amazing after that, who didn't even know what the sides were before we did that in the Crimean War. And so if you've read books on it, like I have, you can easily talk over someone's head. And I've always found that was disrespectful. Does that make sense? I think it disrespects people when you just kind of gloss over the basics and talk over their head. Did that make sense? I know it did. It did, didn't it, Chris? Hey, Jesse, they need a Hall of Fame contest for the best radio broadcasters for how they go into commercial. You would win, hands down. You do it better than any of the ones I listen to. Her name is Laura. Okay, so there are a couple of different reasons we do ads, commercials, the way we do them. First, that's how the show stays on the air. That's why Premiere allows me to get away with doing whatever I want here on the show. I get away with doing it because that needs to be a priority. If you are in this business, that needs to be a priority. Take care of your show sponsors. They take care of you. They keep the show on the air, so you take care of them. So that's one. But two, as far as the listener goes, most people, 99% of people understand there are going to be ads, there are going to be commercials. People don't jump up and down and celebrate that. You're not listening for the commercials, you're listening for the show. But people are adult enough, even kids are adult enough to understand the show stays on the air because of advertiser support. So that's always going to be part of a show, at least unless you get a subscription. But that's always going to be part of a show. So if you have to make the people listening, if I have to make you listen to a commercial, in the very least, you can attempt to make it humorous, make it a little more interesting. That's not only treating the audience right, that's treating the sponsor right, that's treating the advertiser right. You're treating everybody right when you do that. You, in my opinion, it's always bothered me. You really do the listener wrong and the sponsor wrong when you just pick up a piece of paper. And that's why you should call it if it did. That's brutal. It's brutal to listen to, and it's brutal. It's not fair to your show sponsors at all. All right, let's talk about illegals and cutting off their phones. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, reminding you that if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. It's all for free. All right, let's do this. Hey, Jesse. There must be an attempt to recoup the monies illegally paid to illegal immigrants. The federal government should declare it. It is not only stopping federal funding of illegal immigration, but will demand that any government agency that illegally paid out funds to illegals must now be responsible for refunding the taxpayers from whence those monies came. Good grief, this guy is a freaking scholar. He's using words like monies and whence. I should have stayed in community college. Look, obviously, it would be nice to get that money back. A lot of that money's already sent to whatever their home country is, remittances to Mexico or something that people who know illegal immigration, they're aware that it's a gigantic problem. But the Trump administration really deserve a bunch of credit. And you know, this is from me. I'm happy to call out crap if I see it. They have made it, They've made every effort. They have overturned every stone to get illegals deported, either by us deporting them or getting them to self-deport. Is it enough? No, it's not enough. We have to deport more than Joe Biden brought in. So no, it's not enough. But with all the roadblocks thrown in front of them by these crazy judges, by America's blue states, which are designed to protect them, with every roadblock thrown in front of them, they have remained steadfast and committed to deporting illegals. The more illegals we deport, the more American wages will go up. That is a fact. The more illegals we deport, the more affordable housing will be. I hate it that young people now are never able to afford a house. In most cases in this country, every single metric shows this. Young people can't afford a house. Not at the same age they used to be able to. It used to be, 25 to the 30, you're starting to buy your starter home. Now that number is getting up to 45, 50. That will change if we get illegals out of this country. Medical care. This is something that you don't think about till you get sick. Medical care, health in general is like this. You really don't appreciate feeling good and being healthy until you're sick. Right now, I'm perfectly healthy. I don't remember the last time I had the flu. I'm talking the bad flu, where you're in bed for 3-4 days, running a fever, puking in a bucket. You know what I mean? The bad, bad, bad flu. I don't remember last time I had one, but it's been years. You know what that's developed in me? A lack of appreciation for feeling good every day. And I will keep that lack of appreciation for feeling good until the next time the flu hits me like a semi-truck and I'm laying there feeling like I'm going to die. And then it will occur to me again, oh my gosh, I totally took for granted being healthy. The same thing applies to medical bills. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent. When you haven't gone through any kind of a sickness of any kind, or someone in your family has, you forget how backbreaking medical care can be to your finances. It just destroys your finances. Bankruptcies, people have had to sell their homes. But even if you don't, someone goes to the hospital, has a break here, has a sickness there. Insurance covers what they cover, but in the end, you've got to pay $15,000 out of pocket. You have $15,000 laying around? That's brutal. That you're canceling vacation. Hey, kids, no Christmas this year. No, nothing. We're not eating out. It's Kraft Mac. It's very, very brutal. Medical care, the costs will go down drastically when the American taxpayer gets to stop subsidizing the illegals who hop the border and use the emergency room as their family doctor. The cost of everything in your life will go down. Your wages will go up. The crime will go down. We have been artificially infected with crime and high prices in this country and low wages, and it's been done on purpose by Democrats and Republicans. Obviously, Democrats are the worst offenders, but we cannot forget about Republicans like James Lankford, who try to bring in more people and try to amnesty more people. If you're mad about the cost of your medical care, blame James Lankford. If you're angry about all the violent crime that illegals bring into this country, blame James Lankford. Start blaming politicians who've done this to us and start voting them out of office. Salt and Jesse, I write to acknowledge what you accomplished with your show. I change my schedule and stay in my car extra to hear you finish a thought. It reminds me of one who sat behind a golden mic. You weave stories and make sense out of the world's important things in a way that kills me. If I can ask Dr. Jesse a question, I worked as an earth scientist for government in, I won't say where, but my dad needs more care because of Parkinson's. So I stepped away to care for him. How do you think of balancing the needs of your life over the needs of others? It is really difficult to not have a daily mission or purpose. How do you suggest I still do something with purpose for causes I believe in? It's not on the level of what you guys who serve face regarding regular life, but I still want to have a purpose. Thanks for using your talent on loan for God. Well, maybe caring for your father is your purpose for now. Purposes change in life. You know that. And there are times where you feel like you're doing a lot of good. I'll tell you, when I was running for Congress, remember when I ran for Congress and lost twice, I woke up every day, and it was a lot of work. It was a grind. I busted my butt. Speeches everywhere, meeting. I was at every meeting, every speech, everything, knocking on doors, really, really putting everything into it. And it was because I felt like I had a mission. And if you'd asked me at the time, I would have told you flat out that I was sure I was going to win and that I was going to save the United States of America. Obviously, looking back now, that's pretty naive. Even if I had one congressman's not going to do that. But that's why I was running. I was running for the right reasons. I'm sure I probably would have screwed everything up and become corrupt, taking bribes or something like that. But I was running because I wanted to save my country. And when I was grinding those days, and we had two small kids at the time, babies. When I was grinding at the time, and I'd get home, and I'm rolling around on the floor with the boys and tickling them and having fun and things like that, I felt so mission focused. I felt like I had such a great purpose in my life and that my life was heading directly that way. And yeah, it felt good to have a mission. Fast forward, I'm not going to go into all the details again, which I've done before, but fast forward to I'm selling RVs. Now, I had a lot of fun selling RVs. I was able to pay my bills and feed my family and make my mortgage. And believe me when I tell you, I am not insulting you if you're in sales at all. I really respect people in sales. I've encouraged you to go into sales because there's great money in it. If you can handle it, if you can handle that business, there's great money in sales. But I didn't feel a higher mission when I was doing that. I didn't feel a higher mission, and it bothered me. It always bothered me. It's probably why doing this, when my mentor Michael Berry encouraged me to do this, it's probably why I dove into this so hard, is because, wow, what if I could help in some way? What if I could get back in the fight in some way? That's kind of what it felt like. I know that's lame. I'm just a radio host, but that's what it felt like. That period of time when I was selling RVs, it wasn't worthless. I may not have felt like I had this goal. I'm not going for Congress or saving the country, you know, anything like that, but it wasn't worthless at all. It was a period of time in my life where I learned valuable lessons, had time with my kids in certain ways, got to learn about people even more. It was valuable. You're taking care of maybe you're taking care of a sick relative right now, and maybe it just feels like life kind of sucks. I get it. Believe me, I get it. It doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever, and I think in the end you will find there was a purpose for it. All right? Let's do one more segment. Somebody has a friend who loves Hamas, and she loves Israel. How do you handle that? Before we do that, let's talk about Relief Factor. Gosh, this stuff is like, it is miraculous. It is miraculous. When you start taking Relief Factor, it's a supplement. It's 100% drug-free. You'd start because something on your body hurts, chronic pain, your back or your knee or your foot or muscle pain or something like that. First day, you won't feel any different. At least I didn't. Maybe even the second day. But you start taking it every day, and that pain in your life just starts getting turned down and down and down and down. And soon you're doing the things that you stopped doing because it hurt. And it's almost like you wake up one day and the pain is just gone. The stuff is amazing. Try it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a Friday that is, it's tough not to smile. Look, I know nothing's perfect. I know we have a lot more fights ahead of us, but it has been quite an outstanding Friday. I'm going to let the Commander-in-Chief, I'm going to let him take it over again for a minute and say what he had to say, because it was a very, very good day.
Thanks to this decision, we can now promptly file to proceed with numerous policies that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis. And some of the cases we're talking about would be ending birthright citizenship, which now comes to the fore. That was meant for the babies of slaves. It wasn't meant for people trying to scam the system and come into the country on a vacation. This was, in fact, it was the same date, the exact same date, the end of the Civil War. It was meant for the babies of slaves, and it's so clean and so obvious. But this lets us go there and finally win that case, because hundreds of thousands of people are pouring into our country under birthright citizenship, and it wasn't meant for that reason. It was meant for the babies of slaves. So thanks to this decision, we can now properly file to proceed with these numerous policies and those that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis, including birthright citizenship, ending sanctuary city funding, suspending refugee resettlement, freezing unnecessary funding, stopping federal taxpayers from paying for transgender surgeries, and numerous other priorities of the American people.
It's a good day. Make sure you're smiling this weekend. It was a good day. Jesse, I don't know what to do. I am pro-Israel 100%. I have a dear friend who is a wonderful person. If you are hungry, he'll feed you every time. If you need and he can provide, he will. He'll give you the shirt off his back before you even ask. As caring and good person as I have ever met, who's helped me more times than I can count. He is Palestinian and believes Hamas. I don't know how to approach him about the topic. How do I talk to my friend about it? Love the show, especially the use of your imaginary friends, Chris and Corey. Okay, so his name is Dennis. I think I called it a woman, but his name is Dennis. Okay, so why do you have to approach him about it? And here's what I mean. This goes way beyond this issue or this particular relationship. We want our friends to share our value system, of course, because that's part of what makes them friends. But we shouldn't strive for universal opinion on every universal agreement on everything we think. And if you have a wonderful relationship with a wonderful person, but he totally disagrees with you on any topic, why would you blow up a friendship over that? Or why would you feel the need to approach him about it at all? If it comes up, you can discuss it, but you don't have to seek out controversy. And I understand when people are passionate about things, it's tempting to do so. Very, very tempting to do so. And in fact, I've done this fairly recently. So believe me, I'm not judging you at all. You know how pro-life I am. I'm as pro-life as you can possibly get. Like, I don't even believe in exceptions. That's how pro-life I am. Well, you know, I'm not friends really with political people for the most part, because I don't live in D.C. or New York. I hang out with normal people. And the topic of abortion came up one night. And one of my friends, who is a Republican, voted for Trump. Our families are friends. I mean, his kids watch my dog. They watch Fred if we have to leave town for a night or something like that. Like, we're that kind of close. We've hung out multiple times. We go to games together. So we are that kind of close. He is not as pro-life as I am at all. Very, very, you know, kind of one of those, well, as long as it's the first trimester thing, which obviously I completely disagree with. But I was in a mood. He didn't challenge me on it. He didn't want to argue about the whole thing. I did. And I went in on him about it. Absolutely went in on him about it. And not only did I go in on him about it, I went in on him in front of other people about it, which I always tell you not to do, and I try to tell myself not to do. You have disagreements, have them privately. And I had to apologize. I had to apologize because I had a moment. I have an issue that I'm passionate about, and I believe in it all the way, and he was wrong, and I had to fix that right then. And why did I do that? I should have let that go. There's no need to do that at all. Hey, Jesse. Historian Jesse the Blade Kelly. I need your historical expertise. It takes roughly 3% of the population willing to do violence to overthrow a government. I heard that a while back in Glenn or Bongino or maybe you, that communism is embraced by roughly 6% of Americans. If true, why haven't American communists overthrown the government yet? They haven't? Just because they're not shooting and lynching people like they normally do, can't you make the argument they took over the government without a shot fired? How many times have we discussed the voter registry of federal workers? Federal government is the largest employer in the country. It's so big. Well north of 90% of them are registered Democrats. Why shoot when you can just take a place over, when you can just occupy it? All right? All right. Now, enough of that ugliness. Enough of everything. Enough of Chris, most especially. Go, smile, and enjoy your weekend. We'll do it again on Monday. Medal of Honor Monday, don't forget. That's all.